Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Head on Fire is a Patreon-supported podcast. Supporters of the show get early access to ad-free episodes, a private Discord server, archives, and more. All benefits are offered on a sliding scale, so no matter your level of donation, you never miss out. If you like this show, consider supporting it with a dollar a month or whatever you can at patreon.com/headonfirepod. Thanks, and enjoy the show. There is a fine line with satire. You have to make sure that the audience is invited in, that they're laughing with rather than at, that you're punching up, and that you don't take another group down with you. You have to not just know what's funny, but why. And you have to be able to find that funny in real-world situations that are often not funny. Questions of race and class and gender roles are all areas that have taken many a comedian down. It's easy for a joke about gender to devolve into "women be crazy, am I right?" for the person behind the microphone to reach for the easy laugh, but it takes a special kind of voice to find the funny while also making you squirm as you try to figure out exactly why you think it's funny. That was my experience listening to New Nigeria County, a full cast audiobook from Claire Brown, whose social media platform has been a blueprint for showcasing how ridiculous stereotypes are by flipping them around while still inviting everyone in for a laugh. Here's Claire Brown. Claire Brown, welcome to Head on Fire. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Don. I'm honored, really.
The honor is entirely mine. So for people who do not know you, for whatever reason, not that they don't, please tell people who you are and what it is that you do.
Yes, I am Claire Brown. I am a, oh my goodness, who am I? I am a TikTok person, I guess, an accidental TikTok person. I do videos on Instagram and on TikTok, essentially flipping racial microaggressions, gender misconceptions, et cetera, et cetera. And I have a lot of fun. It's fun times.
I have loved your work for years. Like, I think you are one of the few people that got me through the panini. When did you start? When did you
I started during the panini. I don't know the exact year. I was a little bit delayed because I lurked and watched a bunch of other people. It was actually Aaron Goldboy. His videos ultimately got me to join. I think I messaged him and I was like,
kind person. I've gotten to have so many conversations. He's so sweet. He's so sweet.
So sweet, so kind, so talented. And he was the person who was like, you can do this. Because it's I'm not a dancer. And I watched his videos and he was just funny and really, really talented. And I was like, you can do this on TikTok? And so then I started. So it was maybe 2022, maybe, or late 2021 when I first was like, okay, I'm gonna post. And
what did you do before instant fame? Because you posted one video and obviously became instantly famous, quit your job and became a billionaire.
Instantaneously.
Yeah, but what did you do before? Did you have a background in comedy and in satirical writing or anything like that?
No, I do not. So I mean, I've been chronically online probably since 2009. So there was a time period. Yeah, I know. There was a time period then when everybody had a fashion blog.
Oh, sure.
And I had a fashion blog, and it actually did really, really well. And I, would post my looks on Pinterest. It was all very business casual at the club. you know, and I thought I was being very daring.
Club. I love it.
You know, I'd wear like sweaters with like little Scotty dogs on them and like
a we love a preppy moment.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was very 2012. And so I did that for years, about 10 years. And that was how I was able to stay in New York City, was because I was like making money doing these fashion things. But I've also always worked. I like have always had a full-time job that I do. Then it was like in PR and digital. And now I do influencer marketing for work too. And then I was – then like Reels came out. And I was not going to do fashion reels. That was felt like a bridge too far. So I sort of ghosted my blog and pivoted over to comedy. I am a recovering theater person. I have a theater minor. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I was like really about like theater in high school was my entire personality. So it was a natural transition for me to like become my theater kid self. Mm-hmm. On the internet.
But how did you decide? So you know, like you said at the up top, your brand of comedy, brand of satire really is flipping the roles of flipping gender roles and flipping racial stereotypes on, mm-hmm. You know, on social media. You are great in video. You have gone wild on Threads. Like your text-based clapbacks have instantly become iconic and legendary. But like, how did you decide that was the joke? How did you decide that was the bit?
So I started my channel like around George Floyd's death. Mm-hmm. And that was a time when so many, particularly Black women, were on the internet just speaking their truth, talking about the everyday racism that they encountered at work, you know, in their neighborhoods, at the pool, in the grocery store. And I felt like I was watching this all unfold and white people were like astonished. They could not believe it. They were like, I cannot believe it. And I really sat with that. And I was like, really? Like, where? And I realized so much racial media we consume is designed for sort of like white feelings, right? So mm-hmm. when you watch Hidden Figures, you have this like moment when like this white man like comes in and tears down a bathroom sign and saves the day. And that's like, doesn't happen. That's not real. Or like the pie.
You mean The Help didn't end racism?
Right. Exactly. Or like the pie moment in The Help. Like, uh-huh. Let's be very honest with ourselves. Like if that really actually happened, it would have been like not, like there's no way that woman would have like come out alive from that, mm-mm. doing that. But you have these moments of validation in these movies and it makes you think, okay, well, that's done now. It's over. We can all move on. Thank you.
We elected a Black president. Racism is over. Everyone's equal. You, the gays have gay marriage. You have a Black president. Everything is equal. Shut up.
We have pride. Yeah. Like, what more do you want?
Yeah.
So I was like, there are these everyday sort of interactions that you have that remind you as a person of color or as, you know, like a gay man that you're existing in a world that's not meant for you. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to showcase that in a way that wasn't talking about it. I don't like a lecture, really. Like, I don't like when people are like, this is a microaggression. I'm tired. But I wanted, and I'm a very unserious person, so I wanted to make it fun. Racism can be fun. And I also wanted to talk about it in a way that like didn't re-traumatize Black people, because I do find a lot of race-based education is just like re-triggering and re-traumatizing, and you just sort of have to like act out your trauma. So I was like, what if we like turned it around? And it turned out to be a really easy and fun, in quotes, way to make European Americans feel see racism in a way that they don't see because they're not the victims of it. Sort of ways that racism is baked into speech, sort of the ways that the patriarchy and misogyny is like baked into the way that we speak and the way that we go through the day and that we just accept it. So that's kind of how it started. And I actually didn't post my first round of videos were just like, if European Americans experienced microaggressions. And I posted it first on Instagram because I feel like that's a tougher crowd. And it did really well. So then I posted it on TikTok and it did much better. Like TikTok in general, I feel like the audience is cooler. Sorry, Instagram.
But younger, more progressive. Yeah.
Yeah, they seem to like just like get it. So it did really well. And then, you know, and I think that people got it. And one thing people always ask is like, do people get mad? Like, and no, like not really. I think it's positioned in such a way where it's undeniable, but you don't feel like you're being attacked by it. And I have a really incredible audience of people who just sort of keep the conversation going in the comments. Like we all sort of stay in character mm-hmm. and just show, you know, and it makes these continuations of racism and very glaringly obvious. And then, yeah, so then I started Threads, gosh, like a couple months ago, and that's really taken off. And I do tackle gender, especially like the like mm-hmm. straight nuclear family, like sort of tearing that apart on Threads. That's
I yeah. love it. You know, you said you don't love a lecture. I'm kind of known for long, I don't know about lecture videos, but certainly like infotainment videos. That's kind of my bread and butter, I think. For some reason, like people, my social media success, such as it is, seems to go against every rule because everybody's like, no, it has to be 30 seconds. It has to be under 90 seconds. And I'm like, all of my best videos are like 9 minutes long. I don't know what to tell you. But we do share a commonality in that I don't like a bummer. I don't want to get on social media and like lecture you, like be harsh and overly didactic and all of that. And yes. I think we can all lean into that at times, but like being able to keep those peaks and valleys, being able to find the funny, even whenever you have to invite somebody into a difficult conversation. I think that we share that. And I think that that's why I really enjoy your content. But speaking of finding the funny, as a burgeoning comic voice yourself, do you think that there is anything off limits or is everything on the table as long as it's funny?
Yeah, I do think that there's things off limits. And I think within my niche, I try to stay very strictly in my lane. So like, for example, like I don't tackle like LGBTQ+ issues because I'm a straight woman. Like it would be weird for me to be like.
And you just got that acronym wrong. I love it.
Oh, see, did I? Oh my God.
LGBTQ.
See, this is why. Because it's like, it's not my lane.
I love it.
It's not my lane.
Right. I love it. Like, no. Okay. But can I just tell you I was an officer in a corporate pride group. Our like the head of our group, full on dyed in the wool lesbian with a wife, could never get the acronym right. She's like
LGBT.
Yeah,
now I have to Google it.
It's LGBTQ, but yeah, it's I will say I would really like us to bring a return of the early 2000s quilt bag.
Oh, yeah,
What I would really like. I would because I just want the visual gag of any time I have to comment on homophobia of being able to pull up my quilt bag.
Yes, no, because it's So
again, it's so much funnier.
This is me proving my point. It's not my lane to be like if straight people experienced microaggressions because I am straight. I don't have the historical knowledge to tackle that. It would be weird. It would be so. I do think that there are lanes that you should go down, and you should stay in them, and not really pivot. I also don't really talk about religion. I'm not a very religious person. Well, so I do. So I talk about like I do kind of parody Christianity because that's how I grew up Christian. But like, I wouldn't talk about another religion because I don't know enough about it. You know,
well,
you know,
your own content is very much like, oh my goddess, oh, the ancestor. Like, you know, your right. own content is always kind of like leaning into, you know, Afrocentric religions, Afrocentric right. identity and that kind of thing. So, I mean, there is that piece as well.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that's kind of off the, yeah, I think, and always, as a comic, I think you should always try to punch up as much as you can. You know, I don't know if I would like dunk on children. You know, I don't know. There's just certain, you just don't want to feel ick. You don't want any ick.
Right, right. No, I very much resonate with what you said. I think that I don't know that there's any topic off the table, but there might be a topic off the table for you.
Right.
Like, I think, like, I that's how I view it. Like, I can't be funny in every topic. Like, I can't talk about race very much.
Right.
You know, if I do talk about race, it's usually like, here's a statistic that says that these things are applicable to these groups and yada, yada, yada. Because I think sometimes somebody that looks like me, having the privilege that comes with that, can speak about those topics, and then people like in our shared audience might listen to me for whatever reason in that subject matter. And I think that's being a good ally.
Right.
But I do think if you're going to joke about something, it should be yours to find the funny in. You should get to joke about yourself. You know.
Yeah,
And maybe the joke is bad. Maybe it's just, maybe nobody laughs. Maybe you're the only one laughing. And then I don't know that it's just that it's like a taboo subject. It's that you haven't made it funny yet.
Right, right, yeah.
Like, Tig Notaro can make cancer funny. Like, you can make anything funny. You just have to make it funny.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's on you,
right,
as a comic.
You can't just say, I'm a comic, and then get up and hold a microphone, and it's inherently
not funny.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And I do think drawing from your own experience and drawing from your own trauma, I mean, like, I feel like comedy and tragedy, you know, like, everybody knows they're like besties.
Yeah.
I think that is where you can find the funny. But if you haven't experienced the trauma, then it's hard to find the funny. So it's like, I couldn't talk about being, you know, like a lesbian in middle school. That would be weird. That's like not my lane. But I can talk about being like the only Black girl in middle school and kind of like talk about that experience. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's about finding the funny that you can own, not somebody else's funny.
I will say, I can't, like, some of the best writing advice, or maybe I got this from theater or something like that, was you can't make somebody cry until you've made somebody laugh. Like, you have to give them those peaks and valleys. You have to take them high so that you can take them low, which is why, you know, I just don't really like a lot of bummer. Like, you know, there's some movies and books out there that are beautiful stories. But they start here and they just keep going down here. And I just, I can't.
Are we talking to you, A Little Life?
I have to work myself up to, well, I mean, God, there's so many.
There's so many.
Like, just, you know, every year for Pride Month, I try to, you know, to hype up some queer, especially like queer indie films like made by queer people for queer people, starring queer people, talking about queer lived experiences and all of that. But I don't usually include a lot of bummers because I'm like, I would just like to celebrate queer joy. Now, it doesn't mean that those movies or those books or whatever don't have the valleys. But I think you have to earn it. I think you have to give people a break in the middle of it. I think you have to let people laugh so that you can make them. Plus, I think then the tears, they come even harder. Like, if you've made them laugh first.
Yes.
Because then it's just like, oh, no, because now I have farther to go down. Anyways.
Yes. No, it's true, though. It's true.
Yeah. Speaking of writing and that experience, you have a new book out.
Yes.
New Nigeria County.
Yes.
I got to listen to it. I'm gagged. I am very obsessed with this because it is everything that you do, like, just oh my gosh, just so concentrated. But I mean, I know, you know, I've written some books. So part of this had to be catharsis. And part of this, given where you go in the book, had to be disquieting on a personal level. So what was the most cathartic part of writing New Nigeria County, and what was the most uncomfortable?
So I think writing it, I loved writing the world and building it out, because, you know, that you finally see New Nigeria County when it's not just me in front of a green screen doing all the characters. You actually get to hear multiple voices, multiple people bringing this universe to life. So when I was writing it, that was really cool, knowing that I was doing something that a bunch of people could share, and also just writing it. So I don't actually write any of my TikToks. I just improv them. I usually will say, oh, I have like an idea. And then I sit down and sort of just speak. And then I edit the weird parts out and post that.
We all love CapCut. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, no.
We love a CapCut. Yeah.
Yeah. But this was, you know, sitting down and writing characters and fleshing them out and kind of giving people an arc was really cool. I think probably the toughest part was my character. I mean, I am like the worst person, but I'm also a person in this audiobook, but I'm also a person I think lots of people will find familiar. You know, this woman who just, you know, is behaving really, really badly, but is then surrounded by people who enable that behavior, and then nothing changes.
Well, so often is women especially, but a lot of folks that live on the margins of society, you know, will tweet out something like, gosh, I wish I had the confidence of a mediocre white man. And you just got to write an entire book where you, Claire Brown, had the confidence of a mediocre white man.
And it's so rare to see. One thing, though, that I was actually excited about with this project is it's so rare to hear, in this instance, you'll hear a Black woman behaving badly throughout the duration of a project and suffering no consequences for that behavior.
Time I thought, oh God.
It was very important.
The end, she's just like, and things are great, and I got a promotion, and I'm rich, and I'm fine. It was wild. It was wild. Like, I have to tell you, I kept wrestling with who to root for. In New Nigeria, because I want to root for you. Like, I want to root for the main character. Because I think when we read fiction, we automatically want to root for the protagonist of whatever. Which is why, you know, I think sometimes people get really confused. Like, oh, the main character was unlikable. And I think people get really used to liking the main character because they misconstrue protagonist as good guy. As hero. Protagonist is just the main character. And your character very much had main character energy throughout. But I kept wrestling with who to root for, because obviously in our world, Margin would be a villain. She'd be the worst. But because of that, it felt really wrong for me to root for her. I kept thinking, like, if I root for her, am I racist? Is rooting for her racist?
I know, not in New Nigeria County. Yeah, but there is that tension, right? Because you're used to approaching things a certain way and seeing things play out a certain way. But yes, I mean, I wanted to give Karen, who's my character, her Walter White moment. And it's like this person, you're like, am I supposed to be on this person's side? Because like, she's not great, but I guess I see maybe why she's mad, but she's terrible.
Because at first I was like, okay, well, you know, I get the commentary, you know, it's okay, you know, and then I was like, oh my, she's not going to face a sit. And then I kept having to remind myself, would a mediocre white man face a consequence for any of this? Because you're not, you don't go full Walter White. You're not like.
Yeah, there's no death.
Actually, bringing that up, did you ever want to? Did you ever want to have a murder side plot?
I did. So when I initially did the first episode and I sent it to my editor, it was significantly darker. It was funny, but it was much darker. And she was like, we need to go a little lighter. And I was like, fair point. I don't mind going dark.
I hope this is a bestseller so that they will give you, so that they will pick up that first look. I hope you get a sequel. I need a murder mystery, but
a little murder.
I need it for all the true crime girls, gays, and theys out there. We need
a flipped murder.
Yeah, like a Jessica Fletcher moment, but like
I love
where
that.
Jessica Fletcher's coming after you.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So thinking of like. Satirists who live in the bit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Stephen Colbert is kind of one of the most famous examples. And every time I consume your content, especially as you've gone on, especially as the years have progressed and you've really honed your craft, I can't stop comparing the two of you. He's one of the most famous examples of a person's like entire platform being a bit.
Right.
And he's spoken often about how the people he was satirizing thought he was on their side. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah. And I actually think that's why my content resonates so well with everyone is because you have this tension of not quite knowing who the problem is. Who is the problem? But I do think that that is a reflection of real life, right? There's no clear good guys and bad guys in most interpersonal situations. Everybody has their own stuff. And I do think, especially when it comes to talking about race, there people are hungry for a very clear bad guy that you can be it's the KKK. They are bad. We got rid of them. That's done. But it can be this lovely woman who lives next door to you, who has voted against everyone's best interest for the past 50 years, but she's nice. So I think that is where I live, is that sort of gray area of not conflating kindness with anti-racism. So I do think that there is that same kind of tension, am I the problem in this video? Am I the problem in this audiobook? And then tackling that. I do think that's also why everybody seems to sort of resonate with my content, is because there is no clear cut villain.
Do you wish there were sometimes? Because speaking of the panini, I think we got a really fun lesson in, people always say, I'm going to avoid that like the plague. And then a plague comes and turns out we don't actually avoid it. We just kind of dive headfirst into it. And I think when it comes to things like homophobia, racism, xenophobia, that kind of thing, people are very quick to say that they think racism is bad. They think homophobia is bad, but they point to examples from a century ago. Obviously Nazis are bad, right? But those torch carrying polo shirt, cargo short wearing kids on that campus with the tiki torches, well, those are just patriots and they're just concerned about their country, and that's a different thing.
Right.
But obviously Nazis are bad. Homophobia is obviously, but I killing people for being gay. Matthew, what happened to Matthew Shepard is obviously bad, but
awful.
Also, you should never be around children because clearly
I am going to protest your drag brunch.
Yeah.
You cannot exist in this space.
Yeah.
But that's not the same as that.
Yeah.
Because no one
those
died.
Don't live in the same universe. They're not in the same house. They're very clear, hindsight is 2020, better than perfect.
Yes.
But we fail to recognize it in the moment, and we keep failing to recognize it in the moment.
It's so true. It's so true. Yeah. I mean, and I think that is just an important thing to talk about, and I don't have a solve, right? Like, and that, you know, I think sometimes people look to me and they're like, well, what should we do? And it's like, well, I don't have a solve. I can just kind of raise it to the surface, right? I can talk about it and I can raise awareness of this ongoing problem. But I mean, like, I don't have the solve. If I did, I mean, I would, you know, be Mother Teresa, but even she has her demons.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
True. But what I really like about that perspective is that people who do exist in the margins of society understand that even if you did have a solve for a particular problem in a particular moment, it can't be applied to everything, everywhere, all of the time.
Right. Right.
There is no universal Band-Aid.
Yes. Fair. Yeah.
Do you... You know, your persona seems perfectly equipped to deal with haters, with people who clap back, because you can be as confident as a mediocre white man.
Yes.
Does that ever go too far? Because I do remember Colbert talking. He's talked often about, like, he would come home after filming and be like, I don't know how much of that was me and how much of that was the character. And I don't know that I liked anything that I said today. One real quick caveat. Do you have a name for this character? Is it Corinne? Like, do you, or cause I've been calling her Clarabelle in my notes because that's your handle.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But does Corinne ever say things that make that give Claire pause? And do you ever want to walk anything back?
I know. So I try really hard because there is a thin line between commentary and bullying, right? Mm. Like, so I try to like match the energy of the original voice. I think sometimes people think I have taken it too far because they're not used to that perspective. So like, it's one thing to say, for example, like, I'm so lucky my husband helps me with the kids. And then people are astonished to hear somebody say something like, I'm so lucky my wife helps me with the kids. Like, that takes on a different, completely different tone to the person receiving it. Like, that's a bad mom. What do you mean she just helps? Like, she's their mother. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes my rebuttals or my commentary comes off harsher than it actually is because people just aren't used to hearing things from that perspective. One thing that, for example, that TikTok especially struggled with was European American. Like, people would have full meltdowns in my comments over European American. But nobody says anything about African American or Asian American or like the worst, like in like Indigenous American. It's like that if anyone is just American, it is an Indigenous person, right? It's like that's, you know, but people would be like, European American, I'm Italian, or I'm like, they would want, they like, it was like all of the things where it's like, well, do you have that same energy for an Asian American person or an African American person? You know, so people would take
it's like
it
when people get mad about the word cis, like, oh, you're cisgender. People get so mad about
people
that.
People get like, mad, and it's like
Elon Musk made it a slur on Twitter. Like, if you say it, like, you get banned.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Yeah.
So, which tells me you think the word transgender is a slur.
Right. No. Like, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Do you hear yourself?
Right. Exactly. And it's like people have no problem putting labels on someone else, but just not me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just American. And that's what, you know, people be like, I'm just American. I'm not European. Like, European, what part of Europe? You know, and it's just like proving my point, but it's, but yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't necessarily have the ick. I sometimes have the ick for other people. Like, sometimes people try to continue the joke and I'm like, it's not, yeah. It's not quite.
I've seen people reply back to you and they'll be like, they'll suddenly like fat shame. And I'm like, oh, I don't know that that was the joke. Like, I don't think that was the joke.
Right. Or like coming for people's like appearance.
Yeah.
It's like, don't like, that's not, it's not a bridge too far. Like, we can talk about modesty without like talking about like the way someone actually looks. Like, we can talk about like, oh, I'm seeing your arms. We don't have to comment on the arms themselves.
Right.
You know, like, it, you know, it's like a balancing act where you want to make commentary on like the unrealistic expectations of women or of how you're supposed to dress or how you're supposed to act in public without coming for someone's actual identity and who
it's
they are.
It's playing on the concept of shame without you yourself shaming someone.
Right. Yeah. So sometimes I worry, like, you know, like even when I replied to you, I was like, I just know someone's going to do something stupid. And it's like, that's like, let's just be cool.
Uh-huh. Now you know, what's interesting is that and there are lines that I can't cross because I am a white man at the end of the day. I'm very gay. I'm so gay. And that presentation of masculinity, you know, does give me, you know, a lot of intersections of oppression in society and all of that.
Right.
And being gay, I'm affected by laws and all of these kinds of things. But at the end of the day, I'm a 6'6" white blonde man that looks like the bad guy in every, it looks like the bad guy in every 80s movie. So I do have to remember my own tone, especially like in the comment section, because I'll say something that I think is just like a direct response. You asked me a question and I'm just, oh, here's the information. Or no, that's not quite it. This is this other thing actually. And somebody's like, you don't have to get sassy. And I'm like, okay. And so I always have to like remember to like kind of couch
that's
whatever
I... That's a hard line though. I don't know.
It is, but I also recognize that.
Yeah.
You know, I also recognize that it's kind of the burden of privilege almost,
right,
because when you're
right,
trying
right,
to speak
right.
in a certain space in order to be an effective communicator, sometimes you do have to moderate yourself.
Right.
And the funny thing is, I could say the exact same sentence in a video. And people will laugh. People will get
right.
It.
Yeah, but
but if I say the exact same sentence in black and white in the comments, in fact, there have been times when I have just replied to somebody that clearly commented like in the first 10 seconds of the video and didn't get to what I said. The rest of my monologues. you know, I'll just like literally because those long videos are oftentimes scripted.
Right.
And they're great fodder for when I'm writing my next book. So I will literally just like copy and paste the answer to the thing that they're saying that I didn't say. And then they're like, well, you don't have to get sassy. And I'm like,
I know. It is hard. It is hard in text. That, I mean, like I struggle with that even on threads. Like sometimes I have to like go farther than I would. Like I usually keep it very dry and literal in video, but like I have to kind of oversell it on threads or else you lose the thread.
Yeah. We all have to be in cahoots. If we're not all in cahoots anymore, it's no longer a fact. We've broken the bit.
And it's easy to, the text to, you know, video and even,
calm down. I wish I still played a character because I used to operate under a pseudonym for many years.
Okay.
And there were points where, you know, I did get to be a little bit more bold, and I did get to be, but there were times when I was like, this is too far and I'm getting too acerbic and I don't like who I become when I get to hide behind the mask of this character that I'm playing. That's sort of me, but sort of not.
Right.
But what I love about your whole bit is your just ability to just calm down and then just exit the conversation. I am a mediocre white man, and I have never, I strive to be that bold. Calm down. Chill. Just walk away.
You know, don't react emotionally.
Oh God. Did you relate to Margin in the end? Did you root for Margin?
Yeah. I mean, like that, I think that is sort of the thing. I mean, it is weird. Like you said, it's weird to be in a position where, you know, you're rooting for this white woman. But like she is walking through the experience of so many Black women. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the Office parts ended up being my favorite to listen to. Because, you know, there's these moments, and I think so many people of color have experienced this moment where something bad, objectively bad, happens to you, and everyone rushes to defend the person who did something bad to you. And so there's this moment that I love listening to, because a lot of when we were recording it, I wasn't in the same room with a lot of these people. So I, you know, I was listening to it fresh. But when you hear when they play the 911 call, and it's obviously Karen, she says her first and last name, you can hear the voice, and everyone's like, calm down, like, why are you being so rude about this to Megan? Like, they're like, you know, like, maybe
she
didn't,
maybe it wasn't, I genuinely forgot her name.
Yeah. Oh, I know. They're like, you know, why are you acting like this? Why are you being so aggressive? Like, just calm down. It's not that big of a deal. And it's like these moments where you are in a position where it's like, no, like, I am a victim right now. Why are you doing this to me? And nobody is siding with you. And you can feel crazy, right? You're like, did I overreact? Am I, you know, victimizing
myself? And you hear
her
doing that. You hear her doing that in the book. Like, you wrote her kind of like, okay, well, like, there was a moment when I thought she was going to just drop the lawsuit. She's in the office as well. And there's something about like, wait, you asked for the 911 to, are you, I don't remember.
Yeah, are you a
narc or something? Yeah. Are you a snitch or something? And I really thought after that conversation, I was like, she's going to drop it. She's going to be bullied out of her own, like, advocating for herself.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, wait, do I want that? Am I happy about that?
Yeah, I know. It can feel like, oh, okay. Like, you have these moments of tension, but it's like when you have the same in real life, right? It's usually like the death of like an unarmed Black man. And you have like Black people being like, this is a terrible, awful thing that mm-hmm. happened. But then you have all of these white people sort of rushing to defend the wrong side. And it's like, okay, no, like, and so like, that is kind of what I wanted to show is like, you usually are very much on an island of your own, and you're surrounded by people who are like defending the wrong side, and it can make you feel insane. And so there is that sort of like tension throughout the audiobook of like, who am I rooting for? Like, you know,
speaking
just
of
complied?
Speaking of kind of leaning into that discomfort, I know I've experienced people telling me, especially in comments or DMs or something, I was an ally until you said trans people are people, or straight people shouldn't center themselves in queer spaces, or something else that I think is pretty benign. I am sure that you get that. I have seen those kinds of comments like I supported you until, but what does that look like for you? Do you see it as an opening for dialogue? If you have dialogue, does it break the bit? And do they catch themselves halfway through and realize what it is that they're saying? Because with you, I feel like it's more acceptable to be homophobic than it is to be just a full-on racist. But I don't know, because that's my experience. And obviously you probably have a very different lived experience where it's like, no, racism is just everywhere all of the time. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, but so is, I don't know, like, so without, like, again, I feel like I can't really, like, comment too much on the gay experience, but I think the straight male experience, which I do like to comment on, sort of, like, talks about how the implications for everyone of this weird sense of masculinity mm-hmm. that's, like, you have to, like, be a leader or, like, you can't show emotion or you have – and it yeah. and it isn't inherently for anyone who doesn't fit into that box create these weird and super unfair tensions mm-hmm. Of what is it expected to just, like, be, like, the right type of man.
That's that's kind of what I'm getting at. I, you know, I'm not trying to, like, compare oppression in any kind of way. I'm just trying to say that, like,
exactly.
I feel like everyone, even allies, are like, well, but sometimes you just want a man. Like, you know, like, they uphold this toxic masculinity, which
yes.
is so inherently homophobic.
Right, exactly. Like, you cannot have one without the other.
But also racist at the same time. Like, you have to be right. a very specific yeah. type of man.
And so many people are, like, driving that train that you wouldn't expect. Yeah. Like, I'm astonished by even the number of women who, especially on Threads, are like, no, like, that's not right. Like, a man is supposed to be, you are supposed to submit to your man. Or these, like, very unhinged, deranged things that it do become homophobic, right? Because, like, you don't have to have this weird sort of, like, macho, crazy man to be, like, you know, it's, like, it's just this weird broken way of thinking. Mm-hmm. But I don't ever, you know, to go back to your actual question, sorry. Like, I don't ever, when people are, like, oh, you know, they'll be, like, I was with you until you did this. I rarely respond to that. I do more, like, responding on Threads, but I do try to keep it in character, or I always keep it in character. But it does give me ideas for, like, future content, because I do think that there is, like, commentary on that, like, conditional allyship, which so many people fall into the trap. And you mm-hmm. see it played out a lot on TikTok. I'm very much on, like, mm-hmm. social justice side of TikTok. It's pretty much all I see. But people being like, yeah, like, you know, I was with you until you said, especially, like, trans, until you said trans people were people. And, like, that's it. That's insane.
I lost, like, tens of thousands of followers last year after a series of videos, like, specifically talking about, like, advocating for trans kids, advocating for trans people, discussing different news stories that had to do with trans identity intersecting with, like, sports or something. Like, people get really upset about trans people in sports. I don't understand it.
I think, though, I think it also, though, has to go back with, like, toxic masculinity and this mm-hmm. idea, especially of, like, men in sports and what that mm-hmm. looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea that women are supposed to be inherently not good at sports. So if you have, so, you know, someone who defies that too, right? Because, I mean, even, like, remember, I don't, like, when people would talk about Venus and Serena and they would be like, oh, they have to be men, right? Because they're so good. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's all these sort of, like, gross, like, layers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people have such a problem in the bathroom thing. Because people are looking at it from a cis male lens.
Yeah.
A cis male would attack a woman in the bathroom, right? Uh-huh. Like, that would be – but it's – there's just so much – yeah, it's gross. It's
yeah. gross. Yeah. Do you think the well will ever run dry? Do you think you'll ever get tired of Corinne?
I mean, potentially, yeah. You know, I don't think the well will ever run dry, but I might run dry. My personal well. I mean, well.
It's exhausting. Yeah, and once you've built a platform, then I hate to sound like, you know, oh, I'm the most famous person in the world, because I know I'm not. Like, but it's like, when you have now a platform, when something happens, it's like, well, where's your video on that too?
Okay. Yes. Oh my gosh. I could not agree with you more on that. That is when it becomes exhausting, sort of the reactionary activism of when something happens, people looking to creators to, like, be that moral compass. Yeah. I find that to be very across the board. I don't like that. It's mm-hmm. just not who, I don't even think that that's really who what a creator is. And that just could be my own bias, but I don't look to a creator to tell me what to think about a certain situation, nor do I look to a creator to like take a side every single time for every single situation.
And I think it goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning. Can anything be funny? We're both on social justice sides of social media. You do more comedy and I do more kind of like infotainment stuff.
Yes.
But each of us has a lane that we are in. I'm not usually going to hop on and be like, let me talk about the ecology of what it would mean for this particular species of turtle to disappear from the Everglades of da-da-da-da-da, because I am not the expert in that space. There right. are spaces in which I have expertise, either lived experience or educational expertise, or, you know, some other intersection of expertise that I feel gives me a right to speak in that space. I don't feel invited into every space. I don't feel warranted to be in every space. And honestly, I think sometimes going into spaces that are not mine and just guessing at what the right answer is more harmful in the heat of the moment than anything else. And I'm like, and even when people are like, well, why aren't you commenting on, you know, I don't know, something will happen. Like I remember when I was talking a lot about like the next Benedict case, the next Benedict investigation, people were like, well, what about this other case about this other thing or this, what about this other here? And I'm like, well, I don't know anything about that yet. So I'm going to have to, I can look into that and see if that's something that I feel good enough to speak on or something like that. And what I want people to understand is like the reason that you're tuning into me is because the stuff that I end up speaking about, that lived experience, that deep dive expert, you know, explainer stuff that you like from me, that you want me to do about the topic that's important to you, is because I've had years with it. Mm-hmm. I've had years with it. I feel very comfortable with my access to the right information, with having vetted what the right information looks like, and being able to take all of that expertise and perspective and distill it into a funny, witty, but still an informative video.
Yes.
I can't do that with everything because I don't know everything about everything.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I mean, there is so much pressure when you're on this side of I guess content creation, the social justice side, to be everything to everyone. When the news breaks, I generally don't like hot take activism. Like when something happens and people are immediately commenting on it, there's certain things like I did immediately make a video about that man's speech because it was like that just happened.
Yeah. And super that's also easy. Clearly bad.
It was clear. It was a clear
I
cut.
I have all of the context that I need there. Exactly. There is. He said the words himself.
It's fine. You know, like there are moments, you know, where you can just, okay, that's something I can immediately comment on.
I love that you said that man's video and I immediately knew you meant the kicker for Taylor Swift's boyfriend's football team.
Yeah, I know. It's like, do we know his name? No, it's impossible probably to pronounce. We're not going to try. So, I mean, like those moments. Yeah, that's great. But there's other moments where it's like, let people take a beat. But also sometimes things can just be awful and like let people activate in their lives, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you're so much more than who you are on the internet. And I think that thread gets lost. Like, I think lots of times people think creators just think they exist online, right? Like that, you know, it's like your teacher. It's like when you see your teacher at the mall and you're like, what?
And for those of us who are of an age when malls still existed, not just seeing your teacher at the mall, but seeing your teacher work at the mall. And suddenly you're having to realize, one, your teacher's a real person, and two, teachers are wildly underpaid and need second or third jobs.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, you fall in love with these people on the internet and you think that's them.
Uh-huh.
And it can be hard, especially when you're not a creator yourself, to be like, oh no, I mean, this person has a whole life that I don't know anything about, and they don't need to always be my internet bestie when I feel like I need them to be that. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, I think it can be hard to reconcile if you're not a creator. Because I think I associate with a lot of creators. And so it's hard for me to see that other side. But I just think people just don't have the same context. Like when I watch your videos, I like know the work. I like know the time. And then I just also know that you don't live in my iPhone. Like...
I do actually. Yours, but only yours.
Yeah, just specifically. It's like a little tiny John.
Just a little tiny. I'm actually 6 inches tall and yeah. I only just started fitting on phones. Yeah.
Don 2.0. We've been waiting for this model, the phone, the one that can fit in phones.
So I wanted to ask, so I've had another comedian on the show, Bonnie Klupfer. I don't know if you've seen her content floating around social media. Yeah, I love her. I love her so much.
Yes.
She's also one of my comfort comedians, and I text with her very often. I will tell her, I will give her bits, and then she owes me a lot of money because many of her videos lately have just
Send
been things
Send her a Venmo request.
Yes. But so I asked her, because I was like, what questions would a comedian ask another comic, another satirist? Mm. So these are questions from Bonnie Klupfer.
Oh,
one, do you also do stand-up outside of your satirical presence online? And if so, how different is that in-person stand-up from your online presence?
So I get this question all the time, like almost every day. There's somebody even in my email being like, where is your stand-up? Can I come and see it? I do not do stand-up. Stand-up is terrifying to me.
I'd be terrified.
Like, I'd be terrified. Actually think I would be shaking and like you could be, we would hear the fear in my voice. No, I do not do stand-up, and that's not my wish. But I do feel like if this is something I would ever want to like pursue as my life, that that's the next step is stand-up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I can – I don't – I just – no. I just will have to be an internet comedian.
See, I mean, I'm not fully on the comedy side, but I do – I am funny on the internet.
Yeah. I think you are.
Oh, thank you. But I get asked similar things. Have you ever thought about doing stand-up? Do you do comedy? You know, da-da-da-da-da. And I don't know that I'm good at writing jokes. I'm good at being funny, like, contextually.
Yes.
So, my dream, like, I would do a Daily Show. I would do, with, like, a whole bit, like, a storytelling comedy thing. I would do, you know what would be fun? The kind of comedy tour I would do is like what like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler have been doing, where they're just like on stage, just like talking.
Right. Yeah.
Just kind of like a live podcast almost.
Yeah.
That I would do. That there can be peaks and valleys and we can get into material and be funny and lean into all of that. That's fun.
Agreed. Yeah, no, stand up. It's just a lot.
She also wants to know, how is your blood pressure?
It's good. It's probably low, regrettably, but it's good.
The other thing she wanted to ask was, these are her words, verbatim. How fucking good does it feel when someone comments something that you can make into another video? Like, just call them white Americans, not European Americans.
Oh, so it's great. It happens a lot, too. You know, where it's like, oh, the work has been done. And now I can just flip it.
Where are we going from here? What's next? What's your goal for all of that? Is there a goal? A few years in, do you now have a goal? I don't have goals. I mean, I have goals to write and sell more books, but that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I want this audiobook to sell, of course.
Yeah.
You know, don't embarrass me, people. Like, please, buy it. Let's not do a flop. I would love to see. I mean, I guess like if I was to say that I had like a huge goal, especially now doing this audiobook, this is also content that you're meant to see. Yeah. And I would love to be able to see New Nigeria County outside of just me.
1,000% I would watch a New Nigeria County TV show. I would, I, I would watch. I would binge it. I need 25 episode seasons. I don't know if I want Shondaland involved, but like I feel like she would do it. She doesn't do a lot of comedy. She does like dramedy.
She does. But she does like, comedy. Yeah.
I need. I would binge the living crap out of New Nigeria County. I just please cast me. I just
yeah,
want.
I know.
I just want to be somewhere in New Nigeria County.
A front desk boy.
Or the gayborhood, like, adjacent.
Stop, not the gayborhood.
I want...
Well, maybe we can make the mayor, you know, because the mayor is, you know, she's a lesbian, but maybe we can just make, you know, it's a gay man.
Oh, I would love to be. Could you imagine? That would be a bit in and of itself, is that the mayor of New Nigeria County is this tall, blonde, white man.
Yeah, white man. And he, you know, he's just trying to do his best. We love him. There's like lots of celebrations. The town is really, you know, it's great. It's a great place.
Do you carry Corinne with you in your daily life?
No, I don't. I really don't. She like exists. I'm like not, it's like funny in real life. I'm like the least confrontational. Like I just hold all of these things that I have experienced inside of my heart and I let them out on the internet. Yeah. I mean, like I am like very smiley. I'm very like what people always say to when they meet me, they're like, you are so quiet. I'm like silent, non-confrontational. I just smile and sit quietly.
But I think every writer I've ever met, like I do very much identify, like, I believe I'm an extrovert, but I will, like, if I'm in a new, like, if I'm at a party and I don't know anybody, like, I will watch for a bit. But I think that that's just like the writer. I think that's the creative bent, right? Even like what we were talking about earlier, like I just, when something happens, I want to take a moment, get perspective, unpack it for myself, figure out how I feel about it before doing my hot take on it. But like, even like if I'm in a new environment and I don't know everybody, let me get the energy of the room. Let me watch people. I love to people watch. That's where
same.
I
mean, yeah. And listen to people. I love listening. Yes. I am a big fan. Like, I don't know where you live, but like if we lived close by, I love with friends, literally just like following them around when they like go to CVS and go to the grocery store and just like listen to them. That's like my favorite thing.
I'm
like, donut, you know.
Come to Chicago. We'll have fun.
I know.
Come to Chicago.
Like, do you have errands? I will go with you.
Yes. So many errands. I live on a horse ranch. You can come scoop poop with me.
Yeah.
Just outside Chicago.
Yeah, like whatever drudge. Do you have laundry to fold? I will fold laundry with you.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah, that's my favorite thing. But yeah, I know. My sister is always like, oh, when people tell, you know, when I tell people you're my sister, they're like, oh, she must be so much fun. And she's like, yeah, no, she's not that fun. She's like pretty quiet and boring.
Miss Claire Brown, I want to be respectful of your time. So let's tell people where they can find you and where they can get this new book.
Yes. So you can get New Nigeria County wherever books are sold. It will be on Spotify too on June 18th. So it's coming in hot.
Oh, just in time for Juneteenth. You're racist if you don't buy it. Say that. You can. Can I say that?
Okay.
I'll say it.
Yeah. Okay. Or yes.
If you don't buy it, you're racist.
It's true. Sorry.
Since the mayor's a lesbian, you are homophobic if you don't buy it. And it's Pride Month and Juneteenth. So like double whammy.
Exactly. You are racist and homophobic and you hate women.
And you hate women.
And children. We'll just throw, you know, it's just you pile it on if you do not
buy it.
And
you think mayonnaise is spicy?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That is so true. And you put raisins in your potato salad. All those things.
Do you have strong opinions about deviled eggs?
I know. Yeah, I know. No, I mean, I don't eat eggs. So that's the thing. I don't eat eggs. My father is violently like allergic. So I didn't grow up eating eggs because it would kill him. So,
girl, we got to get you a poached egg. Okay. So we know about the book. Where can we find you on social media?
And then you can find me on social media. Instagram, I'm Clarabelle Talks. I just repost my TikToks and my TikTok is Clarabelle CWB.
Well, Claire Brown, thank you so much for being here. It has been a pleasure to thank you for inviting me to New Nigeria County. I enjoyed my stay and felt uncomfortable the entire time. And I do,
I loved
after
it,
reading
but
your
I
book,
kind I kind of hated it.
I do want to apologize for being blonde. I,
yeah,
I understand that this
yellow
is the
hair
most offensive hair color in New Nigeria County.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We're going to have to fix it. Dawn, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me. I will text you. I'm going to like text you right now.
And that is going to do it here for this episode of Head on Fire. My thanks to my guest, Claire Brown. Her new audiobook, New Nigeria County, is available wherever fine audiobooks are downloaded or streamed. If you like this show and you want to support it, there are a number of ways to help. You could just like or share the show with your friends on social media. Like, text it. You can click the little buttons and text it to a friend and be like, hey, listen to this show. It's super cool. That's that organic reach is the best way of growing an audience. If you want to do a little bit more while you're already on your phone, you can like the show. You could also rate the show 5 stars. And while you're there, leave a review, literally just like any string of words. You can just be like, hey, I really like your hair or whatever. And all of that helps tell the algorithm to recommend this show to other listeners like you. Now, if you want to do a little bit more, if you have some jingle in your pocket, if you have some straight guilt and you would just like to assuage it, you can give me your money by going to patreon.com/headonfirepod. You can give me as little as $1 a month to help continue supporting the show. And that money goes to helping support me and support everything that I do to try to book guests and improve my equipment and all of that kind of stuff. So at patreon.com/headonfirepod. You can also find me on social media. I am at Head on Fire Pod everywhere, pretty much everywhere. Every time I see a new social media app, like I saw something called No Place this past week, and I'm like, can we not just coalesce around a single social media app? I run on there, I claim my little at handle thing so that like no scammer can pretend to be me. Anyways, I'm at Head on Fire Pod everywhere. You could also email me contact@headonfirepod.com. I will be at Young Adult Midwest later this month. I'm going to post about that on social media, but I'm going to go. But as always, don't with the head on fire thing. Thank you. Goodbye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.